We're going to start a new sermon series today, and I don't think that worked out too good, but we're going to talk about the struggle. And as if you're over the age of three, you have come to realize that this life is a struggle, and it's a continual getting through a struggle, celebrating, getting through the struggle, preparing for the next one, getting through the next one. And such is the story in the Bible. All things have a struggle within them. A baby struggles to come into this world, and you know there's that moment of anxiety when it is born, and those few seconds till it cries, and it seems like all of existence holds its breath waiting for that baby to cry. And when it does cry, you know, there's the relief. And that is just kind of a typical, just a perfect way to paint the portrait of what life is about. And the world will definitely throw some curveballs at you, and out of nowhere you'll get hit in the face. And life is a struggle, but God just doesn't want you just to muddle through life. He wants you to truly, truly understand why the struggle's there, what the struggle means, and how can we take advantage of the struggle. And the Bible presents a clear understanding and a clear teaching on what to do with what we call life, which can basically be summed up as the struggle. Okay? So the first thing, and you know if you've sat through any of my sermons, there's a consistency in the teachings of Jesus Christ. And the thing that we always need to start with is to always have an appropriate mindset about what we're trying to do, what we're trying to allow Jesus Christ to do through us. And that's why we preach so much about starting your day with prayer, to be emptied of you and allow yourself to be emptied so that the Holy Spirit can fill you, and that you can go out and the Holy Spirit lives through you and fuels you, because that is a genuine, authentic way to start the day with the proper mindset. And the Bible teaches, when it gets down to its application, its teaching on what to do with the things that life's going to throw at you and the problems, trials, and tribulations that wash upon us through this thing called life, you'll notice that it starts with getting your mind right. Okay? And if you've lived very long, if you've been married very long, you know that when you step into a situation and you are not prepared to handle the situation that you walk into, sometimes, if not most of the time, we say things that we wished we could take back. We do things that we wish we had never done. And it's because we were not properly set in our mind how to handle things. And so many times when I do my counseling and stuff, and I'm dealing with a family, and I'm dealing with a larger, not just the husband and wife, but with others in the family, and there's been some kind of division there. And unfortunately, I know this through experience, that I always tell them that when they want to meet as a family, I say to them, listen, here's the deal. If you're not coming with reconciliation in your heart, don't come. Let's cancel the meeting, because this will not end well. And it's all about mindset. So when we approach things in life, and when you set out to handle things in life, it's appropriate, and it's something that we should always do, is take a second, go to the Lord in prayer, and ask Him to prepare our hearts and our minds for the things that we're about to walk into. And that's with anything. And it doesn't matter. I mean, you know that if you walk If you're coming home late from work and you're, let's just say your wife happened to get home before you and the kids are there, you could be walking into World War III, nuclear bombs are landing in the kitchen, and you're like Switzerland. You don't know. You're walking in. You know, you haven't picked a side yet. But you might get bombed. You just don't know, okay? And sometimes you walk into stuff, and it's like, whoa, what did I walk into? You know, and everybody's got this look, you know, and they're all going at it. And sometimes you're just thrown into it. So if we can consistently be preparing our minds for the things that life's going to throw at us, then that is a healthy way to approach life, all right? So with the struggle, I need you to understand that life is the struggle. Life is the struggle. But let's take an appropriate look at what that means, okay? Because you are thinking, as I keep saying, life is a struggle, your imagery is to claw your way up, and you got to fight your way through this life. But let's just understand, okay? Let's get a clear, appropriate view of what Christ wants us to see in our minds when we say life is a struggle. Because there's an appropriate, a biblical way to look at that. Because what we see is clawing our way through life. Christ has a different view for you, all right? So let's just look here real quick. All right, 1 Peter says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. So right here, be sober and be vigilant. That is the call to prepare your mind for the things that life's going to throw at you. There it is, right out in the open. Prepare your mindset, okay? So let's get an appropriate view and understanding of what we mean by the struggle. Let's look at it here. Ask yourself, what is a desert? Okay? What's a desert? That looks about right, doesn't it? Picture there. Here's the accepted definition of what a desert is. A desert is an arid space of land, okay? No vegetation, no water supply, and it's extremely hot. Does that sum it up? What most people think of when you think of a desert? Okay, right? So now I want you to think that when we say the struggle of life, when we say that and when we think about life and all of its struggles, you're thinking about how you're clawing your way through life and you're fighting for everything and you got to get and grab and do all this stuff. And it's just a form of existence of survival. And that's what the word boils down to. The struggle is surviving. That's not what Christ wants us to think about that. So we have to get an appropriate understanding and mindset of what he is saying when he says life is a struggle. And here's what I need you to understand is that this is not a correct definition of what a desert is. A desert is actually a place, has nothing to do with the temperature, doesn't have to have sand. It is just a place that gets less than 10 inches of rain. And you know what the largest desert on earth is? Antarctica. Now, when I started talking about desert, did anybody in this place picture Antarctica? No. You know why? Because we've had it beaten to our heads that a desert is where you're dying for thirst, you're hot, sand is sticking to every crevice in your body, and you're getting so, you know, sick that you're starting to see things that don't exist, right? But the appropriate definition, the literal definition of a desert is a place that gets less than 10 inches of rain. This is what happens to us, is that we get something in our minds and we get told a definition or an understanding, and then we take that and apply it to our lives, and we do that over the instruction of the Bible. And it becomes a catastrophic way that we deal with life. And we have done that when we talk about life and how it is a struggle. So let's look. We need to appropriately define the struggles of life. Because what we tend to do is when something comes into our lives that we deem a struggle, a trial, a problem, a tribulation, okay, something bad, we just label it something bad. But here's the appropriate understanding of what the struggle of life is. In the struggle of life, what Jesus Christ is telling us is that this is an opportunity. This can be turned around, and we can turn this around and make it a blessing, a good thing. And I see, and I know, as I look out at the faces, I know what some of you are going through, what some of you have gone through. And sometimes it seems almost crazy to look at some of you and say that the trials, the struggles of this life are a blessing. But that's what the Bible is telling us, is that the trials of this life, the struggle of this life, is a blessing if you get the appropriate biblical view of what they are. The struggle promotes growth. It is an opportunity of growth. If we handle the struggle appropriate, it is an opportunity of growth. In fact, James says that when the struggle of life come upon us and trials and tribulations are ever present, that this is a joyful time in your life. And some of you are saying, I've been through struggles and none of them were joyful. Again, get the appropriate understanding of what he's saying. And what this is, what he is saying is, this is the time and an opportunity so that God can make himself ever clear, ever factual in your life. It is the perfect opportunity that he can push all the rigmarole and all the stuff aside, and he can look you dead in the eyes and say, I'm here, I'm going to bring you through this just as I have done your entire life. But now we're going to get a very clear understanding that I'm the one bringing you through this. And it says that when you fall into various trials, understand that this is a testing of your faith. So that when you're going through the struggle should actually increase your faith if you go through the struggle appropriately. And it says that within the struggle that we should have patience. That's easily said, isn't it, huh? And here's the thing, that when you, the definition of patience is waiting upon the Lord. Okay? So when you're going through something bad, and when trials in life feels like a struggle, then that is the time that you should wait for God to show up and for Jesus to power through and bring you your victory. That is why it is a testing of your faith. Because as you wait, your faith will be tested. And the devil will start to lie to you and talk to you about things. That's why it says that he is like a roaring lion, looking for the weak ones whose faith is failing them. And they can no longer wait upon the Lord. But we know, as Isaiah 40 tells us, that those who wait upon the Lord shall have their strength renewed. They shall never faint or fall or grow weary, but they shall what? Mount up on wings of eagles. Okay? That's the promise. That's the promise from God himself. And that's what we have to remind ourselves, is that Jesus showed up. It might have been what we decided was 4 days too late, but it was at the perfect time for him to resurrect Lazarus and make a lasting impression for all mankind ever to know the power of Jesus Christ. And then when you are going through your times of patience, that is bringing you growth. That is allowing you to mature, okay? That you may become, and the word is perfect and complete, but we know that to be spiritually mature. And here is the thing, is that this should, now listen, this is very important, so if you turn me out for a second, come back in real quick, okay? But the struggle should actually make you cling closer to Jesus Christ. If it's done appropriately, that's why it's an opportunity. because it is a time to draw closer to Jesus. The Bible says that if we step to Jesus, he comes to us. If we hug to him, he hugs us tightly. The Bible says nothing can take you out of the palm of his hand. He's got this. But we have to have the faith and the ability to get through it as we wait on Jesus Christ to bring us the victory. And the waiting should bring us closer in our relationship to Jesus Christ. That's the opportunity for the struggle. Because let's just get it, let's just be blunt with one another. When things are going great, you don't really need much from Jesus, do you? Let's just be honest. Huh? When things are going perfect, that's when you say, yeah. We mail it in, don't we? We mail in the prayer. Okay? And here's what happened. Is that if you're lacking, if things seem to be falling apart, then it says, ask for wisdom and he'll give it to you. See what the thing is? Don't look, don't give up, don't look for an answer somewhere else, but cling more to him. He will give you the wisdom to get through it. The struggle is an opportunity for growth. Here's the other thing, and this is what has killed the message of Jesus Christ in the modern world, is because I just say it, okay? There's a special call business meeting this week. You only can talk about one thing, so you can't fire me, right? Okay? So here's the deal, all right? The struggle should bring unity, okay? It should make the team come together. But too many times, the struggle is what tears the team apart. And we as Christians have not been a very good example of the struggle bringing us together, more united. What we've shown is that the struggle is the all-time divider, just like it is with everybody else in the world. We don't ever appear to be different when we're going through the struggle because we fail and divide just like everybody else does. So we're not quite the example of the struggle brings unity that we should be. And here's the bottom line, is that the struggle should bring us closer. Let's look. First Peter says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, here's what we tend to translate this as, is it's telling you that your struggle is not special. Well, hold on. Your struggle is special because it's your special struggle, right? It's one you had. It's the one you're going through right now. Okay? That might be a little bit of it. But what it's telling you is that this is to be experienced by the brotherhood. All people are to struggle. Everyone's called to struggle because it's an opportunity to draw closer to Jesus Christ. And it's an amazing opportunity to bring you closer together if you do it appropriately. Now, when you're not ready for the struggle and then life hits you, that's when families fall apart. And it might be something that you had nothing to do with. Sickness enters people's families. It may cause it to fall apart. I don't mean to hurt anybody's feelings. That's just what happens. Financial disorder hits people. It may not be because you're out lavishly spending. It may be that the economy tanked. The stock went down. You lost your job. The hours are getting cut back. It may have something to do nothing with you. But here's the deal. You know, whatever you're in may not be popular anymore. Okay? Remember those emus? Huh? Everybody in town had emus at one time, right? Everybody in the world, we're going to raise emu meat. Well, the market in those things dropped down to zero overnight. What do you do with 800-pound birds? Okay? Sometimes that stuff just happens. And if you're not prepared for this inside of your relationships, then the struggle is going to defeat you. But if you're appropriately have your mindset ready and your faith is strong, and regardless what enters your life, you're going to wait upon the Lord to show up. And if you get a little anxious and you're waiting, then you're going to cling tighter to Jesus Christ because you know he's going to bring the victory. Then that's what brings people together. And here is the purpose of the struggle, not to divide you, but an opportunity to not only bring you closer to Jesus Christ, but to rely on those who you love more. But too many times, because we're not appropriately prepared for the struggle, then when it hits us, we fall apart. Ephesians says that be worthy of your calling. Be humble, gentle, with patience, bearing one another. Okay? Making an active, now listen, okay? Making an active approach that the struggle brings us closer together. That's what that's saying. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And it goes on to say there's one God, one Son, one Spirit, one baptism, one church body. Okay? So here's the thing. If you're in a marriage, if you're in a family, if you're in a church family, then these are relationships that we have to constantly be praying about so that when a struggle hits those relationships, it allows us to hug tighter, rely on each other more. Otherwise, we are going to fall apart. Your family will fall apart because the world does not care. They don't care. It's cruel, it's mean, it's without love. I'm just saying all the obvious things in this world, okay? For in the blame goes around. You can't find one little epicenter of blame. It goes around. But with Jesus Christ, the struggle can actually make you tighter with your family. It can bring your marriage closer together. And if you've been in a marriage very long and you've in somehow you've made it through all these years, we're together almost 18 and a half years, okay? I tell you the story. I used to travel Monday through Fridays. I came home from Friday one time. I was ready to go out to eat. She was sitting in the kitchen crying with all of our bills spread out. And I said, "What happened? What happened?" She said, "We're broke." And I said, "I get paid tomorrow." Okay? We all be broke for a couple hours. All right, let's go eat something. All right. And sometimes you look back and think, I was just dumb enough to get through it. Okay? That might be a blessing from God. Okay? All right. But here's the deal, is that when you look back on those times, those are the things that you're thankful for because those are the things that made you come together. And when you got nobody else but your spouse, boy, that really brings you close together. And when nobody else is with you but Jesus Christ, then you better cling to him tighter than you've ever clung to anything in your life. That is what the struggle is about. That's why he says it's an opportunity. He's not there just to beat you down and to leave you and to say, yeah, you couldn't take it, so have a nice existence. He's not there to test your marriage to the breaking point. He's there to give you opportunities to come together and to be bound in a way tighter than what anything else in this life could ever bind you together with. Okay? The struggle is there to bring you maturity, to make us mature. Growth pains, growing pains. That's what, you know, relationships, humans, churches, organizations, they all go, hopefully they're all going to go through growing pains, okay? But you have to make sure that the maturity process isn't the ending of the growth. And here's what we say, okay? First, back to 1 Peter 5, but may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered for a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. So real quick, let's look. This is giving you some teachings, very applicable teachings, about how to, through Jesus Christ, attain spiritual maturity. Okay? First word there. We're going to break these words apart right here. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. That's what it's saying to do. So the first one, what's it mean to be made perfect, it says to perfect you. Okay, Ephesians 4 says he gave some for the equipping of the saints, the works of ministry, to build up the body of Christ. Okay, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to be a perfect man, to measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. And here's what it's telling you to do, is that the struggle through your faith, through your ability to wait upon the Lord, through your ability, even when it feels like he has left you and he's not going to show up, to still wait upon the Lord. Because we know when that happens, what do? We cling tighter to him. We reach out more for him. And if we are struggling to do that, what's the Bible say? Call for wisdom, and he will give it to you liberally, to the perfect amount. And through that process, that is what makes you a mature Christian. But unfortunately, too many are back here, and we're still children tossed to and fro, kind of doctrine and every kind of emotion that comes up in us. And that's one of the things about, I love church camp. I'm a giant proponent of church camp. I preached it last 2 years. I'm all about church camp. But here's the thing that anytime I have anything to do with church camp, here's what I try to tell them, is that you're going to experience an emotional high here. Okay, you're surrounded by like-minded people. You're kind of, the world is as excluded as it can be anymore with all the phones and everything. But you're going to get into an emotional high. And then when you leave here and you go back home to your buddies and all the schools and the bullies and all that, and you get back into that life flow, that emotional high is going to leave you. And then you're going to question yourself, am I not a Christian? Am I not as strong as I was? Is God not loving me as much? And all these questions are going to go through your head. And it's all based upon emotions. And here's the thing. All the books and movies and all that stuff will tell you that love is an emotion. Something that you feel. Okay, I get it. But here's the bottom line. Love is a choice. And Jesus Christ chose to go to the cross for us. God chose to show us his love by sending his son to the cross for us. And here's the deal. We have to choose to love. And sometimes that's very, very hard to do. Okay? But here it is. That can only happen and happen appropriately if Jesus Christ is living through you and me. Because you bring a bunch of people together who've got a bunch of different kind of ideas and a bunch of different kind of philosophies of life, who are raised differently, who have different incomes and different kind of likes and dislikes and all that stuff, and you're going to put them together by the hundreds and say, here, get along and make all kinds of decisions, and do all that stuff. But here's the bottom line. If we're going to do that, you have to choose to love one another here as Jesus Christ makes that possible as he lives through you. That's just on a more wider scale than when we're with our intimate spouse. And sometimes marriage is tough. Sometimes raising kids is tough. But here's the bottom line. We are to choose to love. And if you have trouble with that, have Jesus Christ going through you, because that's the only way that's made possible. And that is how you get to. You don't get tossed about by your emotions. You don't make decisions on emotions. That's not what adults do. So as we look towards spiritual maturity, it only happens as you apply the things that we talked about in James 1. Okay? What does it mean to be established? 1 Thessalonians 3, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in the holiness before our God and Father, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all of his saints. What's that mean? That means to put you on a firm foundation. And here's what I need to have you ask yourself this morning. Are you building like the wise man upon the rock? Or are you still building in the sand? Because if you're building in the sand, the struggle is going to get you. But if you're built upon the rock, then when all else around you washes away, you're still there. And that only gets made possible if you are established by God on the foundation. And the Bible tells us that there is only one foundation which to build upon, and that is Jesus Christ. So if you're not building your life upon the teachings of Jesus Christ, then you cannot expect spiritual maturity. It's not going to happen. So the flip side of that is that if we want to see spiritual maturity start to come up in our lives, then we need to dig into the teachings of Jesus Christ and apply that to our lives. And when the storms hit us, ask for more wisdom and reach out to him and hold him ever more tightly and cling to him. Strengthen Okay, we think strength is all about digging down deep and finding that inner person that you didn't know exists. And here's the bottom line. Ephesians tells us that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, the strength with might through his spirit in the inner man. You know what that's telling you? It's telling you exactly what I tell you every Sunday. If you're going to get through this life, guess what you have to be filled with? The Holy Spirit. That's what it's saying right there. The spirit in the inner man. You want strength in this life, you get it from the Holy Spirit. That's the bottom line. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. You know what that tells you? He's going to be there to give you wisdom, to give you strength, to edify you, to build you up, to tell you don't do that, it's stupid. Here, do this. Okay, go talk to somebody. He does not speak his own words. He speaks the words of Jesus Christ, who is always operating in the will of God the Father, the perfect harmony of the Holy Spirit, the Holy Trinity. The Holy Spirit is the gift of God through Jesus Christ. You want strength in this life to withstand the struggle? You get it from the Holy Spirit. And then Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things because Christ is who strengthens me. That's where I get my strength. And to be settled, okay, that Christ may dwell in your heart, Ephesians 3, that you be rooted. Are you rooted in the Word? Are you built upon the foundation that can only be built upon Jesus Christ? All right? Are you grounded in love? Listen, if your personal doctrine is causing you not to like somebody, that's not Jesus Christ. I'm just going to tell you, that has nothing to do with Jesus Christ. Okay, if your personal theology makes you not like a certain segment of the population or makes you really, really judgmental about certain kinds of things, that's not Jesus Christ. Okay, that's not our job. We're not to convict or judge. That's not our job. Our job is to simply love. That's our job. And it's tough. It's tough to do sometimes. I will agree with you. Okay? But here's what the Bible is telling you, is that this happens when you're built upon a solid foundation, when you have spiritual maturity, and then here's the other thing, when you are settled. You know what that means, to be settled? You ever dug a hole, and then you put the dirt right back in the hole? It didn't go back in the same, did it? There's more dirt than what there was. Why is that? That dirt had settled. Okay? And then sometimes when you think a house is really, really nice, and then like 2 years later, there's all of a sudden a giant crack in your garage floor. You're like, where'd that come from? Your house settled. Sometimes we got to get through all the shifting and all that going on, and we got to become settled. And that's what Jesus Christ will do with us, is understanding all the things that can go on in life. And then when we get to the spiritual maturity level, we can handle this appropriately. Then it says that we will have knowledge and love that passes any understanding that's on earth. We're settled. And then here's the promise. We're back at the beginning. 1 Peter 5, 6-7 tells us that humble yourselves, because any kind of trial and tribulation can hit any of us. No one's exempt. It can happen to any of us. And under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you in due time. Do you know what that means? There is a promise right there in that phrase, that first phrase. And you know what the promise is? He will provide the victory. He will exalt you, but you have to do it appropriately. He's not going to exalt you for Aaron's sakes or for your sake. If I allow Jesus Christ to live through me and I cling to him and I wait upon him for the victory, and then when he provides the victory and I give him all the glory for the victory, then he's going to exalt me with the victory. And here's what we need to do. Is understand what is the reason. Now, we're down to the water has been boiling all this time I've been talking, okay? And here's what I need you to understand. Is this what we're boiled down to? And this is the root of the message right here. So all the other stuff has boiled away. Okay, we've gotten all the application out of it, how to apply it to our lives, and now we're down to the just the base element of what is in this message. And here's the deal. You know what the struggle's all about? It's not about how tough you are, how strong you are, how you can hunker down in a hailstorm. That's not what it's all about. Okay? It's not about how smart you are or how much more money you can make or how much of this that you can do and all that. Here's what has boiled down. Here's the root of the message. Here's the message of Jesus Christ, is that this, everything about, including your life, which we are calling the struggle in this sermon series, the struggle is all about Jesus Christ in his glory. That is the proper mindset. And when you come in knowing that this is not about you, this is about glory for Jesus Christ, regardless of what happens. Remember in the book of Daniel, what the three Hebrew guys told Nebuchadnezzar? God will deliver us. What they say? And if not, we'll go to heaven, live with him forever. And we need some people to say that, I'm signing up. God, Jesus Christ will get all the glory of the struggle of my life. And if not, I'll go to heaven to live with him forever. That's the message. That's the reason for the struggle. So I'm going to ask you to stand this morning. When Jake was a little kid, I don't know how old he was, 4 or 5, 6, somewhere around there, however old you are when you start teaching a kid to ride a bike. I'll never forget. He fell, skinned his knee, was crying. And I was trying to get him back on that. He had a brand new bike. And Ariane didn't speak to me for a couple hours after I did this, okay? But I asked him, are you giving up? He was crying. He said, well, look at my knee. What would you do? I said, well, I wouldn't give up. And he said, well, look at my knee. I can't ride that thing. And he was crying, okay? So I took the bike out to the front, leaned it up in the pitch of the ditch there, went into the garage, tore off a top of a cardboard box, took a black magic marker, and I wrote free bike. Put some tape on it, and I went out and slapped it on that bike and walked out. And me and Ariane looked out of different windows because she was crying and wouldn't talk to me. And we watched him. He walked up to the ditch, pulled that sign off the bike and tried to get back on it. And long story short, the kid can ride a bike now, okay? But here's what I want you to ask yourself this morning. Where are you right now? Is your bike laying in the ditch with free bike written on it because you've given up? Huh? Or are you in a place right now where you can say, you will take care of me, I understand that, and you'll get me through this. And if not, I will rely upon you for all things. That's where we got to get to, right there. That's it. That's the message of Jesus Christ. And what's happened is that we've come into these things called marriages and families and church families with that not in our heart and with our understanding. And I understand. I get there with you. I want to give up. The struggle, what's the term? The struggle is real. The struggle is real. But I need you to understand that there's too much at stake. There's too much to fail. And I am calling on you to ask yourself this morning to do an internal audit about where you are. And if you're not at that place where you can say, I will wait upon the Lord, I'll cling to him ever so tightly, and if not, I'll still pray that he gets the glory in my life, regardless of what happens, then I need you to come up and pray about it, because we're heading into some very exciting, difficult times. And you never know what's over on the horizon ready to smoke you in the face or to kick you. And if you've gotten through a struggle, please, I'm begging you, come up and give God the glory for the victory over the struggle. Let us celebrate together and come together. So I'm pleading with you today. Come up, regardless of where you are, whatever phase or place you are in your life, and let's rely on Jesus Christ, and let's give him the glory, and let's wait for the victories to show up. I'll open up the altars to you.